Need the Lord's blessing upon us today. And how we deliver His Word and how His Word is received. The Lord make it alive and real to us. I'd like to turn again, as we have considered a couple times this month, in the book of Luke, the second chapter. Luke 2 and 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished as she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. It's a story that's been told often, a story that we know well. But I want to think about this last verse, the part of the story where Jesus, Mary, and Joseph specifically found no room. We understand by what we've read that there was a taxing that had been decreed, a taxation, a sort of a census, a calling for people to go into the place of their ancestry and there to be recorded and to give the due taxes. And so it was in Bethlehem that was a relatively small village. It was even part of Micah's prophecy that Bethlehem was not some great place on the map. It was the city of David, and it's where our Savior was born. But as mothers understand what this is like, the Scripture says discreetly that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. As that time draws closer and closer, it's not usually a time that a mother-to-be cares to be traveling very much, especially without the comforts of which we're accustomed in traveling. But as they entered into their destination, into the city where they were to lodge that night, I'm sure it was with anticipation that Mary especially, I'm sure, was very eager to get into a place that she could settle down, realizing the hour that was drawing very nigh. And it says that there was no room for them in the inn. This is about more than little children's skits and plays and a cute story. Mary and Joseph were left in something of a predicament. And yet it wasn't because of hostility. It wasn't that they went around knocking on doors and only for people to realize who they were and said, "We don't want any part of this, go on." That wasn't the occasion at that time. There was simply no room. They were out of space. There was no vacancy. And it probably wasn't like our Hampton Inns and things along our highways today. Certainly there was no reservations. You call ahead and reserve a room. They had to go, and perhaps it being the city of his ancestors, maybe he went unto some of his father's family and perhaps began there, only to find out our place is full. We don't have any room. We don't have any capacity to be able to keep you. It wasn't a decided rejection because of who they were or what was about to happen. But there just wasn't room. You know, in a broader sense, there wasn't room for Jesus either in the palace or in the corridors of the temple where man's wisdom might have more rightly placed him. But that wasn't God's plan. There wasn't really room in the heart of the proud and the arrogant. There wasn't really room in the hearts and minds of those that already had all the answers and had it all figured out. That wasn't the ones to whom Christ came. There was no room for Jesus to be found. And I want to think more broadly of ourselves today. Let's look at John, the first chapter. John 1 and the 9th verse, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came into the world that he himself had made, unto a people that he had formed and created and loved. And they didn't receive him. They didn't know him. They didn't comprehend who he was, what he was there for. They didn't receive him. But unto as many as would receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Unto as many as receive him. The question for us today, do I have room for Jesus? Does our world have room for him today? All the stores are full. Decorations abound, and the merchandise that's sold is just overflowing into the aisleways and special displays and all of that. Amidst all of that, is there any room for Jesus? Revelation, the 3rd chapter. I'd like to look at a familiar scripture here. Revelation chapter 3. The 20th verse says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." There's so much that is conveyed to us of the heart of Jesus and the plan of salvation in this very scripture. Behold, I stand. At whose door? Behold, I stand at the door. You know he stands at the door of every heart knocking. Not willing that any should perish, but unto as many as will receive him. He comes, he stands, and he knocks. The very one who says all power in heaven and earth is given. Do you really think a door can hold him out? Of course not. After he rose from the dead, he passed right through those doors. That's no obstacle. It's no hindrance to him. Certainly no deadbolt would be enough to obstruct his entrance if that's what he wanted to do. But he stands and he waits for us. And we're the ones that have to make the decision. And scripture says that he first loved us. It wasn't we who went out pursuing and seeking after him first. No man cometh unto the Father, I believe Jesus said, except my Father draw him. There's first a call. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't that he found our works and our being so attractive because of who we are and what we've done. But he came to the door and he knocked. And to those of us that are saved today, that happened for you. Jesus came to your heart's door. Do you remember that day? That night. You remember the gentle appeal of the Spirit calling after you? Well, maybe it was out of fear partially that you responded. But you know, really, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Whenever we realize that He stands waiting, He's there, available, accessible. If I'll make room for Him, He'll come in. Not for a momentary thing, but He'll come in and sup and live and abide with every one of us. Why wouldn't someone open the door? Why would you keep it closed? Why would you ignore the gentle knocking of the Savior? Well, I go back to what we mentioned a little bit ago. Bethlehem. Bethlehem was nearly at capacity because of the taxation and all the people that were doing exactly what Joseph and Mary were doing coming into Bethlehem. It was full. You know, it's not always people in their mind, thinking that they have hostility against Christ and His cause. Do you know how many people just don't have room for Him? I just don't have space. I don't have time for Him. My mind is so full. And how many people procrastinate or in their mind think that one day, or they give lip service to it. They might even celebrate and magnify to an extent what Christmas is. And yet in reality, does Jesus have a room in their hearts and in their life? You know how easy it is to say about something, whether it's on the job, a task that you've been wanting to get done, a project. You know how easy it is to say, I just didn't have time. I haven't had time to get to that. You know, that's not exactly right. Every one of us have time. 24 hours of it every day. The question is, what do I spend my time on? What am I going to give my time unto? Because really, when it comes down to it, I spend my time on that which matters the most unto me. And so in that, would ask and challenge us each one to consider, does Jesus have room in your clock and your calendar? Is there room for Him? Some people don't open the door because they have no interest. No time, no capacity. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew 6 and 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's not that I don't have time. It's not that I can't have room. It's that other things have occupied it. Other things have taken up that time. Other things have filled my heart and my mind and my time to capacity. Do you ever fill the pool of so many things vying for your attention, for your energy, for your time? I'd like to look at Luke, the 24th chapter. Luke chapter 24. The setting here is on Resurrection Day before Jesus had revealed himself unto the disciples, and some of them were walking down the road to Emmaus. As they walked, Jesus drew near, but it was withholding from their eyes to be able to see who he was. And he talked with them. They began opening up, pouring out their heart, their sorrows, their disappointments. Jesus began opening their understanding to Scripture, and they later testified how our hearts burned within us as we walked in the way. But in verse 28 it says, "And as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further." Do you think he would have? As they were walking together and had been walking for a number of miles down this road, as they drew nigh unto their village, Jesus made as though he just kept on going. Like that was his intention. That's what he would do. But they constrained him, saying, "No, abide with us, for it's toward evening and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. I'd like to look also at Mark the 6th chapter and get a similar experience that the disciples had. Mark chapter 6 and verse 48. "And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. They all saw him, and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Folks, how many times does Jesus draw near to us in our life's journey, on our life's walk, in our night seasons of life, that Jesus draws nigh unto us? But notice, he did it in such a way. Remember, it says he stands at the door and knocks. That is an invitation unto the sinner to open the door. But I want us to realize that I believe it's also a challenge for us as Christians that I leave room. He stood knocking at the door, waiting to see if we would open. As he was walking on the road to Emmaus, he kept on going with his face set ahead like he wasn't going to stop. But you know, I have to believe he was hoping inside that they would respond to the burn that was within them and say, "No, don't leave us. Don't keep going. Would you turn in and stay with us for a while longer?" They had room. They had time. It's what their heart and their desire was. They could have said, "You know what, we're busy. We've got plans this evening. You know what? It would be an inconvenience for us. Just let him keep on going." But they had room. They wanted Jesus to turn in and abide with him. Jesus, as he was walking upon the sea, and he would have kept on going, but the disciples cried out. They were fearful. They didn't understand. They cried out, and their cry reached Jesus' ear. I believe his heart is longing for communion with us, with everyone. He desires to have reconciliation even to those separated by the curse of sin. It's what he came for. It's what he died for. To be able to atone or set at one again. Two parties that had been at enmity that could not be spanned. He wanted to come and bridge that gap so that not only they could be at peace and just live at distance without enmity, but that he might be able to come in and they could sup together as the closest of friends might. And that's what he did here. But what I want us to think about is ourselves in 2025. it really comes down more than the fact that there's so much to do, so many responsibilities, so many distractions. It really comes down to the fact or the question, do I have room? Am I going to save room for Jesus? Am I going to have a heart that cries out, Master, I know you're near. Would you turn in and talk with me for a little while? You know, it's almost like the brush of butterfly wings sometimes. When we feel just a little bit of a nudging, just a little bit, maybe a scripture that comes to my mind in a fleeting moment. Maybe it's part of a song that I can come to my mind. You know how easy it is to just kind of dismiss that and keep on going. I've got so much to do. I'm so busy. I need to do this and I need to do that and I need to take care of the other. When it very well might have been Jesus at our side. The Spirit calling and saying, I just long to have some communion with you for a while. I'm kind of bringing it down to a human level. But I just want to share a scripture with you that I think would be a blessing to you today. I just want to commune with you for a little while. And I wonder how many times have I, because I had my mind set on what I was doing, the things that I have to do, the things that I have to take care of, that I just kept right on going. How many times, figuratively, did I leave Jesus standing there, looking after me? Do we have room? It's not just about those folks there in Bethlehem. Do we today have room for Jesus? It's about more than an identity. It's about more than a name that I claim. It's about more than celebrating His birth at a certain time of year. Do I maintain and preserve room for Jesus? Part of the danger of our time is this bombardment. You know, we live in an information age, and it's a blessing and a curse. You know, we have access to more information to consume in 15 minutes. We can access more information, and I don't have data and proof, and just consider what I'm saying, than our ancestors, pick a time in history, the early 1800s, more than they probably would have gotten in a year of news and information and things to digest and consider that we are bombarded with. News flashes and feeds and notifications and one thing after another. You know what those things do? They take up room. We have to be very intentional if we're going to maintain room for the Lord. We're going to have to learn to be still. You know, an information age feeds an ADHD type disposition. And we can have spiritual ADHD if we're not careful. That I can't even still my spirit long enough to say, Lord, I'm here and I just want to commune with you for a while. We're going to have to learn how to say no. We're going to have to learn maybe how to turn a device off. We're going to have to learn how to intentionally preserve space for the Lord. You know what can happen is, and the Lord understands our heart, understands that there are some times where things come up and I've got to deal with it, and then something else comes up. You've ever had those days, just one, you feel like you're going from one fire to the next to the next? You know, this isn't about a straitjacket. It's not about legalism that if I don't log X number of minutes in a day that, you know, the Lord wants our heart to long for communion with Him. And you know what I found to be a danger? That yes, there are those days that, Lord, I'm sorry, but I'm going to need something on the fly here. I've got all this that I have to take care of. But you know what can happen if I'm not careful is that moment passes and I've got some time. And I just kind of waste it. And where I could have spent time with the Lord, you know that I'm going to say the enemy, I'm going to place blame at His feet. And I don't believe unjustly so. You know the enemy will see to it that you stay busy. The enemy will see to it that if you do have some downtime, where I could have spent some time with the Lord, He'll see to it that time, that cup is filled up. Where before I know it, I've gotten to the end of the day, the end of the week, the end of the month, and I say, where did that go? I want to look at Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke 10 and 38. Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. She had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Did your parents have a way of saying your name such that maybe you knew you're in trouble? If I heard Clinton James strung together, I better pay attention. Martha, Martha. You think the Lord's ever repeated your name twice? Oh, Clint, Clint. You're careful and troubled about many things. But Mary hath chosen that one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So Martha came in hoping, and I believe would indicate here that she knew her words wouldn't hold much weight with Mary if she told her directly, and maybe she already had. Mary was intent on something. She wasn't listening. She wasn't having it. Jesus, you're going to have to. Would you tell her? Think there was maybe a little bit of indignation there? Mary, come on. This isn't right. It's not fair. You know this, and this has to be done by such and such time. Well, isn't that even responsibility? But there's one thing that's needful. When it comes to our calendar, our clock, our day, our thoughts, there's one thing that's needful. And if I'm too busy for that one thing, I'm too busy. Is there room? It's not always open rejection of the Lord. You know the path the enemy would like to get some of us on? I say in my heart and mind, I don't want to go to the way of sin. I don't want to go to the world. I don't want to be lost for sure. But if the enemy can begin getting me bogged down and entangled, if the enemy can succeed in getting me distracted and filling up my mind and my desires, my heart, my thoughts, my time with things that in light of eternity really don't matter, such that when it's time for Jesus, I don't have room. He can get me. You ever encountered a hoarder? Somebody who it seems like everything they see You know what? That's got value. Hey, I might need that sometime. I'd hate to see that go to waste. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I might need that sometime. That's useful. That has a purpose and a use to it. And I'll pack it away and I'll stuff it here and I'll place it there. And you know what happens over time? It might be all right for a couple shopping trips, a couple garage sale days. But you know what happens over the years with that tendency? Is that it fills up more and more and more and more and overflows. I've been in other countries where I haven't seen nearly the number of storage units that there are in the United States. Out of room. I don't have space to store everything that I have anymore. Well, my focus, of course, this morning is not as much that. There's maybe some things to consider there as well. But are we spiritual hoarders? Every little thing that comes along that catches my attention, every little thing, that distracting thing that runs across my path, I turn my attention to that. I invest time in that and energy into that, and I research that and I look into that. You know, we're going to have focus. We're going to have to learn how to shut some things out. I'm going to have to learn to lock in. Children have to learn this from a young age, don't they? Or it really hinders them throughout life. You know what? There's a time and a place. Now you've got to learn to be still. You've got to learn to sit. You've got to know the toys will come later. Nope, don't hop up. That can wait. You need to focus on your schoolwork right now. You need to focus and learn to shut some things out to get that done, and then you can move on. Lord, help us to learn, to know how to shut some things out. Lord, help me to learn how to focus on this one thing. Because what I have found can become far too easy is that the most needful things can get the leftovers. And if we're not careful, our life, our days can become so filled with a little of this and a little of that and a little of the other that I get to the end of it and my day has been chock full. And I give the Lord what's left. Lord, help us to make room for the Lord. We see of Jesus that He doesn't elbow force His way in. He's not going to tackle us and take us down. He's not going to jimmy the door open. He's going to stand. And He's going to wait. He's going to appeal. He's going to draw. But ultimately, I'm the one that has to make the decision. Will I have room for Him? Or will I not? I think about, maybe we'll close here, in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 25, and we'll look at verse 35. I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them, On the left hand depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. And then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee. You know, we can go through life so distracted, so focused on myself, my task, the things that I want to do, that I fail to see Jesus, that I fail to see His work, that I fail to recognize whenever there's something to do for Him. Song number 410 in our hymnal, maybe as we, after we close, we can sing that together. Song 410 asks us, have you any time for Jesus? While the fleeting moments roll, is this mortal life so busy that you cannot save your soul? Have you any time for Jesus? Can it be life's journey through that you have no time to serve Him who has spent His life for you? Time for business, time for pleasure, time to revel on in sin. Will you not take time for Jesus? Oh, invite Him to come in. If you have no time for Jesus ere you pass beyond the blue, in the resurrection morning, He will have no time for you. I pray today that the Lord would challenge our hearts. And Lord, teach us how. Teach us how to live in this present world. Lord, teach us how to live our lives and the cares and responsibilities that we truly do have in life. Lord, help me to know how to seek You first. Help me to know what it means to have room for Jesus. To not allow myself to become so distracted, bogged down, entangled, that I go through life with no room. I'm full. I'm at capacity. Lord, help us that we save room for Him. You pray for me.